Welcome to Hope is Here. My name is Greg Horn. We are continuing our conversation with Reggie Smith. If you missed our first two programs, I want to encourage you to go to our website, hopeishere.today, and you can catch up. I do want to give you a quick recap so you can stay with us, kind of give you the Cliff Notes version, as the old saying goes. Don't even know if Cliff Notes are still around. We had those when we were in school, Reggie, but I don't think the high school kids now, you just look everything up online. But Reggie was a very successful business person in Pikeville, Kentucky, did really, really well, and was a board member for the education system with the independent at schools in Pikeville for over 10 years. Also had three different airplanes that he flew with his brother, so he was a pilot, and you know, did that for fun. Had three precious children. They all graduated from high school, was able to get them a car, put them all three through college with no debt on their part. So God had done really well, but then tried to make an investment in some property and winded up, as a lot of people found, for real estate. Sometimes it can be great, sometimes it can be painful. In his case, it was just cost a lot more. And then somebody committed fraud with him on trying to get an extended line of credit. Then, because of the pressure of trying to pay that, he made some unwise decisions with some financial investments that he had, that people did, because he had become a financial investment person. So I'm giving you the Cliff Notes version, but go catch those things out. Hope is Here. Today, our first two programs, only 14 minutes long, and you can catch Reggie's story. Fast forward to today, he has now been on staff at Northeast Christian over 10 years now. He's the director of facilities, but I would almost call it more like a chief of staff position, or basically, if you want to know what's going on at Northeast or need an answer, you can ask Reggie. Northeast, a huge church over in the Hamburg area, beautiful facilities, but even better people. And Reggie, you know, I concluded yesterday that you came to me, you're like, I'm done with this corporate world thing. You were controller for a hotel chain, some guys that owned some hotels. And just, you know, it got kind of ugly and challenging. And you just said, hey, you know, I'm gonna honor God. I'm not going to be in this situation anymore. And so you came to me, and I was executive pastor Northeast. And unfortunately, the only thing we had at that time is we had all those beautiful buildings, but we had to pay for them. So we didn't have much money, but our custodian had called in sick that day. And I just said, brother, I hate to ask you this. I'm embarrassed, but you know, if you want to clean the bathrooms, that would be huge, because this was on Monday, and Sunday, of course, we had been filled with people. And you took off your blazer and rolled up the sleeves on your nice shirt and went to work. And, you know, so many of us sometimes that are listening, and I know I've been guilty of this, we let pride get in the way. You know, God used me. But then when God wants to use you, if it's not quite the way that we think it should be, or maybe we think it's beneath us, we pass on that opportunity. And yet here's a guy that, I mean, you know, when you ask somebody to clean the toilets, the commodes, whatever, there's nothing more humbling than that. And I can say that from a guy that my grandfather, my mom's dad, was a custodian for 30 years and was a great man, a man of class, and loved God. And yet here's a guy that had all these things and yet just said, you know, I want to be a servant to God and my church. And he did that. And so Reggie, man, you started doing that and just kept doing it faithfully. And you know, we share now your director of facilities, but I gotta imagine that there had to be some humbling moments though during that time.
Yes, there were. And I you know, when I drove to Lexington, I was an old car filled with my clothes, and that was it. So that's all I had, is the clothing on my back, clothing in the back seat, and I rented an apartment and lived out a pretty solemn life, working as a car salesman, working as a controller for two hotels, or two men that owned eight hotels, actually, with a group of investors. And when I went to the church and volunteered, when you asked me to take care of the custodial work, it didn't really bother me. I said, you know, this needs to be done. And I just looked at life a lot different than I did 20 years ago. And I do today. I don't want those material things that I wanted then. I don't care whether I impress anybody or not with the clothing I wear. Fortunately, years ago, I bought some very nice clothes, and I was able to have tailored clothing and things of that nature, and they are still being worn today because they did last. So I look at it like God had prepared me for anything that could possibly happen, I hope.
Well, I agree with that. You know, it is funny. I've seen that too in my own life as my income has decreased over the years too. And, you know, yet I bought some quality clothing and shoes and things back when, you know, I was blessed tremendously financially by American standards, even, of course, compared to the world standards. We're still doing very well, but third world and, you know, outside the United States, I guess is a better way to say it. But same thing, you know, God let some of those clothes last a long, long time. And I took care of them just like you have. And as I've kidded in the first two programs, a very sharp-dressed man, even though I know that's not your identity anymore. But so you go from, you know, being owning five cars and a huge home and all that to just a little apartment. You come to Lexington with the stuff in your car, and then finally, like you said, just left this unhealthy work situation. You start cleaning the bathrooms and things, and yet God's promoted you over the years of your faithfulness. And you know, you're on staff there at Northeast, been there over 10 years. But you know, I asked you three things that you know, what would you say that God's taught you from the, quote, riches to rags part, if you want to call it, and now, you know, because of your faith in God, you do have riches, not by the world's standards. But I asked you to email me three things that you've learned about God and that he's taught you during this time, and I want you just to elaborate on those, if you will, Reggie. The first one you just said, and I love this because it's actually the first sentence of one of the best-selling books of all time, but it kind of offends people, but I've never heard a person ever say this. And you said the first thing, Greg, that God taught me is life isn't about me.
And that's true. I learned, I guess, more so in the period that I was going in front of the judge while in prison, and mostly, I guess, in prison when I was helping other people and not even realizing I didn't go to prison for that. I went to prison to serve time for something I did wrong. But I became friends with a lot of people in there that had come in there for various reasons, most of them drug related, but some, one was a doctor that was framed, according to him, by an attorney. One was a businessman that had written some insurance policies and didn't send the money in, just self-insuring people. Things like that, that you witness to people and say, well, you know, you can get through this, and I'm getting through it, and we can help each other get through it. We had to do a lot of things in prison. I ended up being a teacher and giving people GEDs. That's one of the requirements in a federal prison, that while you're there, if you don't have your high school degree, you have to go to GED classes until you pass. So I was a teacher until we taught every student in that class. We had the largest graduating class in the history of that prison that got their GEDs. So it was just kind of serving and doing my job at the same time. But I lost track of the worrisome of having all these things to worry about, and the fine home that I'd lost, the cars that I lost, all the things, material things, that don't mean anything to me anymore. The fine cars, it's okay to own a fine car if you can afford it.
Absolutely.
And I own a fine car right now. It's 10 years old. So that's what I look at. I look at life completely different. It's not about having the newest and the best. It's about enjoying the peace of life.
Well, you've done that well, and I just thought you hit on a huge point. It jumped in my spirit about why you were in prison. You know, you helped others, and you helped all these people get their GEDs and encouraged them. What a great accomplishment. And I believe there's people listening that you may not be in a physical prison with bars and, you know, gates and all that, fences, but you're in a self-imposed prison, you know, mentally, emotionally, mentally. And I'm sure that, like me and Reggie, a lot of it's been because life has been rough, some because of decisions others made, and some maybe, like Reggie and I have also done, made unwise decisions yourself, yet you can still help others like Reggie did. And I would encourage you to say, you know, God, show me where you're working and help me join you, you know, let me join you in it. And you'll be amazed how you can feel a lot more freedom when we get in these self-imposed prisons sometimes. Second thing, Reggie, you shared with me is that you've learned over this period of time, the last 20 years, that God works in his own time frame. Sure about that.
Well, I've gone through so many things, like with my children, and I know in God's time, he'll rectify that. And I can see some of that coming about now when I run into my son here in Lexington, and and he has his family with him, and they stop and they talk to me, and I think that's a wonderful thing that I get to see my grandchildren, and I get to see my son and my daughter-in-law. I love them to death. They're wonderful people. He has a great family. So God works those things out. He takes those things and teaches us lessons that we don't work everything today. If I need something or want something, He knows when is best to make it happen. Just yeah. like walking down an aisle in Walmart and seeing my son. That has to be a God thing.
Yeah. Yep.
So right. So I have to trust God in that.
Absolutely. All right. The third and final thing you said that God has taught you during these last 20 years from prison to now in ministry, peace comes with serving God more and showing less concern for the things this world has to offer. And so you've kind of elaborated on that a few different times. But, you know, what would you say to somebody right now, Reggie? I think we've been elaborating a lot, but I really want you to be able to speak to somebody out there. If they're just like, you know, man, I just don't have hope. You know, I'm just so discouraged. I don't even feel like living. And, you know, you've been through some really tough seasons yourself. What would you say to that person listening today to give them hope?
We live in a pretty cruel world, and people are judgmental. And I think the best thing to do is just trust God. If you look at life on this earth today, it's terrible. This world is terrible. You're seeing laws passed that want to try to eliminate Christianity and God, taking God out of schools years ago. We have to have God in our hearts. And if we trust God to take care of our needs, then He's going to do it. And like we said before, in His own time frame. We can't expect it to be done today. But if you're down and out, just trust God. Pray and ask Him to help you through those circumstances. If you have all the materialistic things and you're worried about how you keep them, don't worry about it. Let them go. Why keep all the things that are burdening you and keep you down? I literally felt like a ton of bricks had been taken off my shoulders when I pled guilty to committing a crime, because it was gone. It was behind me now. And I could turn everything over to God and say, okay, God, where do I go from here? So I look back at my life and say, all the things that I'd done, all the things in building and construction that I'd done, all the things that I dealt with financially, He's using those bad examples as good examples today. I use all those lessons that I've learned for the good of Christ.
Well, you really do. I mean, you're responsible for over 240,000 square feet, and you know, you do. You have a lot of blueprints and things you have to look at, and teams, building teams, and budgets, financial things. So you're right. God's used all of your business acumen today to help build His kingdom. So, Reggie, man, thanks so much for sharing your story the past 3 days. I love you, brother, and I appreciate the wonderful servant leader you are, and more importantly, the great friend you are.
Thanks so much, Greg. Happy to be here.
All right. Well, that's my man, Reggie Smith. Gosh, if you missed this, so many people can relate to stuff Reggie spoke over the past 3 days. I want to encourage you to go to our website, and you can go to that at hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. You can hear Reggie's other two programs. They're only 14 minutes long. I know you'll be blessed, encouraged by this wonderful servant leader. I'm Greg Horn. We'll see you next time on Hope Is Here.
Hi, I'm Tay Henderson, Executive Director of Lighthouse Ministries. In addition to serving meals twice a day to our hungry Lexington neighbors, we also provide shoes through our Michael's Feet Ministry. In June of 2014, I noticed that many of the people we were serving did not have adequate shoes. If they weren't duct taped together, there were holes in the soles. The day that a man named Michael approached me with scotch tape holding his shoes together, I knew I had to do something, and Michael's Feet Ministry was born. Now we are blessed to replace over 50 pairs each month thanks to individual donors and donating businesses through WJMM. Please consider being a part of this blessing. Each pair you give replaces a battered pair and helps a battered person know they are loved. Thank you.
For more information on Lighthouse Ministries, check out their website at lighthouselex.org or contact them by phone at 859-259-3434.